This is Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea how important you are.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is March 4th, 2021, and I have an exciting interview to bring to you guys. I'm going to be talking with a guest who I haven't spoken with previously, at least not on camera. This is our first time getting to meet digitally in person, but it's somebody that I'm aware of. I've followed his work. You can find his science fiction. He's a 3-time award winner of the Prometheus Award. He's also a friend of Samuel Konkin III, the founder of Agorism, and those of you who followed my work and followed this channel, you know that I'm inspired by Konkin's work and by Agorism, and have written about it in my books and tried to take some of the concepts that he wrote about and update them now for the kind of post-crypto, digital, post-internet age. Konkin, of course, died in 2004, and take those ideas, bring them into the mainstream as much as possible. And we're seeing this massive growth of this Agorist counter-economic movement around the world. And a lot of people really don't know where it comes from, and they don't know that there's still a lot of work that we haven't even seen. And so Victor is now making an effort to try to save Konkin's archives, the Agorist archives, and he's going to tell us all about that and how you guys can help. So please welcome to the show, Victor Komen. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been exciting for me the last week or so to see, you know, what you're doing here, what you're putting the effort into. Let's start there. I guess let's tell a little bit about your background, I guess, about how you know Konkin. We'll talk about your science fiction in just a bit, but how you came to know Samuel Konkin and how you came to be in possession of all those boxes behind you.
Okay, well, we can go way back in time in like 1974 or so. I was attending San Jose State University, and in their bookstore, they had copies of a magazine called The Alien Critic by Richard E. Geis. And in it was a review, either a review or an ad for something called New Libertarian Notes. Now, I had grown up reading science fiction, and I was interested in the space program. And I had sort of learned that Heinlein used the word libertarian to describe himself at one point. So I thought, okay, well, I like reading Robert A. Heinlein. I guess I'm a libertarian. So I subscribed to it, and it was great. It was a mixture of science fiction and libertarianism. So I started corresponding with Sam, and I actually have some of those letters in this collection. Eventually, I moved down to Los Angeles in 1974, mid-74, and Sam and a couple of other people from the what they called the anarcho slum in New York moved out to California, to Long Beach, to a place they called the Anarcho Village. It was on East 7th Street and Cherry, and it was sort of run down, but it had survived the 1936 earthquake, I think, so it was fine. I eventually moved in there like a year later, and we were this gang of libertarians, anarchists, and science fiction fans who would go to science fiction conventions, and then, you know, in our copious spare time, we turned out 101 issues of New Libertarian Weekly, which at that time was the longest running libertarian weekly. We would get together and, you know, fold the pages and put them into a folder to get them into envelopes and mail them out. And I was in charge of the mailing list. Before computers, we had little typed up ditto cards that you would run through. It was very primitive, but we got it all out and we had a good time. Hey, there's Sam. We hung out together, we worked together, we proselytized together, and it was a great time. Eventually, as happens, you know, we all got good jobs, or better jobs at least, and moved out from the anarcho village. Sam eventually moved out of the anarcho village to a place in Culver City that he called the anarcho villa because it was a slightly newer apartment building. And, you know, we went on from there. Now, during the times of his moves, he would sort of like a snake shedding his skin, he would shed his old files and stuff. So I grabbed what I could of his letters and back issues of the magazine and personal items, notes, calendars that he kept. And then one time when he was trying to clear stuff out of his apartment, I grabbed a spindle of his DVD backup discs. And he gifted my daughter with a couple of his power books, which she wound up not using, but I held on to them, and they have a repository of stuff from the, I don't know, late 90s, early 2000s. And so I also got a bunch of backup floppies, which some of them are unreadable at this point. And that's how I gathered all this stuff together, which I've been preserving in the 17 years since his death. And I figured, well, when Janiel Shulman and Brad Lineweaver both died within a month of each other last year, I thought, you know, it's time to do something. So what was it? A year, 2 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, when they died, I thought, well, we're losing a lot of our... Am I getting any feedback? There sounds like someone's, I don't know. I'm hearing.
Yeah, feedback. I'm getting a little feedback myself. I don't know if it's
everybody else. Mute your mics.
Well, so let me ask you, Victor. So you're kind of describing the time period. So does the bulk of the material you have consist of like Sam's later writings in the 90s and 2000s, or is it stuff that goes back, you know, further? What's the time period you would say between the information or the data that you have that hasn't been released publicly?
It's a mixture. I mean, I've got his grades from high school and from college, so it goes back to the 70s. I found the original handwritten manuscript of New Libertarian Manifesto. What I'm hoping to find are the four missing chapters of Counter-Economics that he wrote but never printed out, apparently, because I don't have a printed copy of that. I've got his printed manuscript of his first six chapters, but there are supposedly 10 more that he wrote on one of his computers, and they're out there somewhere. They may be in the possession of the Janiel Shulman estate, and that supposedly is like 100 boxes of stuff. So that's part of what I'm trying to track down. There's also personal letters going back to the 70s. He had a lot of correspondence. He was a very prolific letter writer. He did keep carbons of a lot of his earlier letters. And of course, the later letters are on computer, so they're either printed out or somewhere in his computer files. I didn't get his final computer, so I don't know what's on that. But I'm trying to gather together as much as I can. And I also have my own files of letters that I wrote to him and carbons that I kept. So between it all, it's a copious amount of stuff. One box alone that I scanned in last year had 1,900 sides to it. So, you know, about 1,000 sheets of paper. And, you know, if you're scanning both sides, that's what it wound up to be. So the remaining six boxes that I have include letters, notes, calendars, and so on. So my hope is to scan them all in. And in order to do that, I have to forego gainful employment. So that's why I started the Agoras Archives, in order to get the software and equipment that I'll need to do the scanning. I've got the scanner. I've got the computer, obviously. What I need is a network, a NAS RAID 6 storage, so that things that get scanned in don't disappear to a head crash or something like that. So that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a pretty big undertaking. I saw that you've been, well, for, of course, I'll put the link to the GoFundMe so everybody who's listening can contribute. I definitely want to invite everybody to contribute. I myself have contributed. I was just, you know, lately I've been feeling the abundance of the crypto wave, so I was able to throw $3,000 towards the cause because, as I said earlier, and, you know, Victor, I don't know how much of my work you've got to see since we've been corresponding, but it's very heavily influenced by the work that Sam laid down. And, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, because he passed away in 2004, that's before cryptocurrency, before a lot of the kind of latest developments in the last decade, even though his work sort of predicted and anticipated a lot of these things coming about. So I think that it's, you know, it's really difficult to kind of just not understand the emphasis that we should put on saving his work is kind of the way I see it. Is there, you know, some of it might just be bits of letters and here and there, but I think there's probably going to be some things you'll discover that'll be worth saving, at least in the terms of just kind of the history of the libertarian movement as well, because he played a large role in that movement and, you know, his criticism of the Libertarian Party. And of course, he coined a number of terms that are still in use today that many younger libertarians, I don't think, really even understand, like the full impact of his influence. So I'm excited to help contribute and see where this can go. So I did have a question. So one of the things I've been interested in finding out about, kind of reading copies of, is the isolationist. Like, when I read some of the descriptions you've put together and some of the other things I've seen online about the isolationist, like, it describes contributions from, you know, people from the left, like Noam Chomsky, and then of course more right libertarian kind of folks. Are there issues of that, whether digital or physical, that exist?
Yeah, we came out with one issue of New Isolationist, I think, maybe two. For some reason, I may have just one issue there, but I've got a feeling that they're all resident on one of his computers. Now, one of the things that he did was he was one of the first people to start using PageMaker back when it was created by Aldus, and PageMaker became InDesign and is now InDesign on the cloud. But the thing about PageMaker was you couldn't jump the incremental updates. So if you had a PageMaker 3 document and you've loaded PageMaker 5 on your computer, you couldn't upgrade the PageMaker 3 document to be readable by PageMaker 5. So I've got to get each of his software disks for each of these things, and obviously they can only be really run on an old Mac laptop or, you know, PowerBook. So, I mean, we started out on the Mac Plus years ago. That in 1986, I think, was the first time we started using PageMaker and bringing out the magazines in digital, you know, composing them digitally and then printing them out and creating physical copies. So if there's a way that I can incrementally bring each of these up to InDesign, I can finally make PDFs out of them and, you know, save them as they were originally designed. Or, you know, alternately, I'm scanning in the physical zines and saving the images and then converting the images, you know, doing OCR on the images to get the text out. So that's the tedious part of it. But Sam, and first, thank you very much for that donation. It really will help. It will allow us to get the equipment we need to get this started. And I'm going to start shopping the internet for the equipment this weekend. Sam really was into cryptography. He envisioned the idea of using cryptography to avoid being spied on by the state. So when the very first cryptographic chip came out for popular use, the Cryptext from Carl Nicolai, he created a chip for the TRS-80 computer that allowed encryption. Sam has been a proponent and a supporter of cryptography, and I think in Counter Economics, the book, he does discuss a little bit about cryptographic money and cryptocurrency, and so he was keeping way on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he also discussed, he goes into talking about like the early TGP cryptographic keys and things of that sort, which are now kind of commonplace in the crypto world. And people like journalists, of course, use PGP and other things like that. So again, I don't think we can stress the importance of saving his work. And it does sound like it's going to be a lot of tedious work for you, but also maybe kind of revisiting some of those various memories and some of those efforts you guys did. I'm showing on screen for those who are watching some of the books that have been published by Victor through CoPub Co., which is his publishing house. And of course, I mentioned you're an author yourself. You want to talk a little bit about, are you currently still writing anything? Are you involved in writing science fiction still at this point?
Yes, I've got a novel that's about 3/4 done. I don't like to talk about it, but I'll talk about my other novels. I wrote one of the first novels that I wrote was The Jehovah Contract, which was about an assassin who was hired to kill God. And that's probably my most renowned novel. It won the Prometheus Award. It's been optioned for film a couple of times. The film director of the movie Free Enterprise, Robert Meyer Burnett, has optioned it a couple of times. It's his dream project. Following that, I wrote Solomon's Knife, which was a novel that tried to resolve the abortion question by separating out abortion, terminating a pregnancy from killing a baby. And what if you could extract a fetus from one woman who doesn't want the baby and implant it into another woman who does want to have a baby but can't by ordinary means? Doesn't that solve the abortion question? And there's the Jehovah Contract. Yeah. So I basically broke it down into several different, I created an orthogonal chart where you had one axis was life, pro-life, anti-life, and the other was pro-freedom, anti-freedom. And the intersection of the pro-life, pro-choice, pro-life, pro-choice axes, and with the libertarian solution being pro-life, meaning you save the life of the baby, but pro-choice, the woman gets to terminate her pregnancy. And so there it is. Yes, with the cover that they spent about $2 on when they published it, but the cover of my paperback's at least a little bit better than that. Although it looks more like a murder mystery novel, so I may have to change the cover to increase sales. Following that, I wrote Kings of the High Frontier, which was my sort of lifelong plan. I think I started writing it in 1976 with a different title, Hidden Millions, basically the hidden wealth and hidden frustrated NASA workers quitting their jobs, and kind of like Atlas Shrugged of the space age. And I wish you could show the better cover of the paperback with the Neufer ring on there. I decided I would look up all of the...
I'll find it.
Okay, it's on Amazon. I would look up all the crazy spacecraft that people had designed over time that could work. And I had these various conspiracies trying to build a spacecraft to get into orbit in order to beat a United Nations deadline where the UN would take over all space ports and space travel and basically keep us nailed down on this planet forever. So there was one fellow building an upgraded X-15 to launch into orbit. He discovers he can't, it just doesn't work. The numbers just don't work, but he decides he can skip around the atmosphere like the old wave rider Silbervogel German Nazi spacecraft that they envisioned that never, it was actually a bomber that never worked or never got built, but could work. So he zips around the planet on this X-15. Another one is building something called a Neufer ring. There was a engineer named Bruce Neufer in the 1960s that designed a single stage to orbit space station, fully assembled. It was 16 spherical chambers, each holding the hydrogen and oxygen propellant, and then aerospike engines. And the whole thing lifted off as one, like this crown of glory taking off. And then once you're in orbit, you've used up all the fuel, the tanks are empty, you turn those into living space. So I thought that was a really great idea. And it was actually proposed to General Dynamics, I think. I'm not sure at this point. But that's what's on the cover of the book. And so that was really a fun book to write, because I got to get out all of these various spacecraft designs and make it real to the reader. So that also won the Prometheus Award, and I had the most fun writing.
Yeah, congratulations on your success in that arena. And I'm guessing you're saying you are working on something, but you're not ready to talk about it yet. It might be ongoing project.
Yeah. So okay. It won't interfere with the Agorist Archives. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So this Agorist Archives are coming first. Well, I do look forward to checking out your science fiction. I'm a fan of sci-fi, and I've always thought it was interesting. The more I've learned about libertarianism and seen the kind of overlap, I'm guessing particularly with Sam and kind of you guys, you know, crew of friends and allies and people around the country, that there did seem to be this sci-fi, libertarianism, anarchism overlap. Can you speak to that? Like, is that just something that happened naturally, or is that something that was particular to you guys' group of friends, to the Agorists?
I think it was sort of particular to us. Sam, you know, grew up reading science fiction, also Heinlein and C.S. Lewis's science fiction trilogy, and Asimov, Clark, all the usual suspects. So because he was a fan of science fiction and he was a libertarian, he thought, well, you know, there's a vast number of libertarians out there. There's a vast number of science fiction fans. If I have a fan, if I have a magazine that deals with both libertarianism and science fiction, I'll get all the libertarians to read it for the libertarian content, and I'll get all the science fiction fans to read it for the science fiction content, and you know, I'll have double the circulation of any magazine. Well, of course, you know how Venn diagrams work. He only got that intersection of libertarians who were science fiction fans. So the circulation of New Libertarian, I think, never got above 1,000 or 1,500. But it was very influential in the field. People who felt it necessary to attack the magazine, and people who enjoyed the magazine. And, you know, for 20 years, he was publishing it. And it started with a two-page broadsheet called Laissez-Faire in 1970. And it ended with New Libertarian 187 in 1990. It was a tribute issue to Robert A. Heinlein, who had died a couple of years before. So it was a good 20-year run. And then he got into the digital age. He also started all these other little things, like New Isolationist, as you mentioned, and New Libertarian Notes and Calendar, the Agorist Quarterly, which made it through one quarter before it ran out of money. But he founded the Agorist Institute in 1986, 1984 for the appropriate year. And so, you know, he kept going. And then when the World Wide Web became more prevalent, he tried to do like a New Libertarian Weekly online. So there's some of that on the discs that I tried to recover some stuff through the archives.org project, and I'm trying to reassemble what he thought, you know, what he had there. but there are missing images, there's missing text. And so I've sort of got to reconstruct all that if I want to, you know, make that available, because that's what he was doing from like 1996 through 2004. I mean, he was working till the day he died. And, you know, that's how he lived.
Yeah, I had a question, and that was pretty much where I was headed with it. Is I was just curious about, you know, his output towards the end of his life, because I definitely have spent some time going through some of the Yahoo groups that he was involved in and seen some of the just various chats. I mean, whenever I was writing one of my last books and including things on agorism, I was kind of just, you know, scouring for anything I could find that he'd written to see if there was any other ideas or thoughts that would be useful. And so I spent some time in like the Yahoo groups. Is that one of the other places he was active, or was there other spots on the internet that he was active till the day he died?
There was a Left Libertarian listserv, and I don't know if that's the Yahoo group or not, but I know that he saved and digest. I guess he called them digest. I don't know, but he kept the product of the listserv on his hard disks. So on his backup disks. So I've got some of those, and it's just a question of, you know, opening them up and looking at them. They're all text, and seeing if there's any gems in there, and, you know, putting them in a format that would be more appropriate for the 21st century.
Okay, so before we wrap up, you do have a website up right now, though, already, that does have some of the archives that you've been able to put together so far, kind of as a preview. What's that address? I want to make sure I include that.
It's archives, archives, dot copubco, copubco, .com. And that's a subdomain. It's the subdomain of the Copubco site, so you can sort of move between the two. And there's a donate button for the GoFundMe page. There's also a button for if you want, as you did, use PayPal to make the donation. And if you scroll down a bit, you'll see the terrible. No, well, you're zooming. I don't know. Anyway, there's it's poorly laid out because for some reason the Agorist Archive GoFundMe sort of expands to the whole page instead of just to the whole column. But as you can see, we're moving along very nicely toward the goal, and we're ready to start right now with what we've got there.
Awesome. Yeah, wonderful. I appreciate that. I will include the link to both the Agorist Archives page on copubco.com, which is, of course, where you can purchase directly through Victor's publishing Sam's work. And I also will post the link to the GoFundMe directly and recommend checking that out and the video that you put together, because I think it's a nice video that just elaborates a little bit more on your connection with Sam and does show some pictures and kind of gives a background of the movement at that time. And I really do appreciate just the effort and the desire to not let those boxes just rot away and to save them, you know, for future generations and people who are going to discover these ideas. I think it's really, really valuable and important. And yeah, just hope that everybody out there who has benefited from my work or heard me discuss agorism and counter-economics and has found value in that, to please consider supporting this effort, because this is where this work, the work of Samuel Compton III, is where I've taken inspiration from. And Victor is somebody who's been along and a part of that journey. So thank you for joining us. And anything else you want to say before we close out?
I'll just close with what Sam would always say. Don't forget to smash the state.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. All right. Well, till next time, guys, please support if you can, however you can, whatever amount you can. Oh, wait, one other thing, Victor. We did have a question. Are you going to be able to have crypto addresses? I'm sure there's some crypto address to it.
You know, for a guy whose PhD is in information technology, I've been slow to adopt Bitcoin, or cryptocurrency. So I've had a suggestion that Bitcoin Cash would be a good way to go. If you have any suggestions, I'm happy to hear them.
Yeah, sure, definitely. I can help you get set up with Bitcoin Cash. Is a good one as far as it actually has low fees. Like right now, trying to send Bitcoin could be, you know, ridiculously high fees, which is obviously not something people, you know, are using it for. So Bitcoin Cash and then things like Monero, I'm sure there are definitely agorists out there who care about privacy and speed and who use Monero because it seems to be the most privacy-based coin out there. So I can help get you set up with a couple of addresses for that we can set up just for the fund, and then we can help publicize that and put that information out. Once we get that done, I'll add those to the description of this video wherever you guys are watching. Cool. So, all right. Thank you for your time. And guys, until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries, Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea